sell it. We were never leaving this charming home with its wood beams and potbelly stove. We were never leaving this idyllic town of rolling hills and forest preserves. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. I've been having conversations with so many different women lately, not only the women that I coach and teach, but also friends and family members. And I've been hearing the same things from most women, and maybe you feel the same. You are overwhelmed currently. You want a moment to yourself, but you can't find it in your busy day. You are in the midst of change or transition, but the next steps feel a bit unclear. And if any of this resonates with you, please know that you're not alone. That's why I talk about the things that I do on this podcast. That's why I interview the women writers that I do. We're always trying to figure out how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. And so I wanted to blend my backgrounds of both writing and yoga nidra certification and create a gift for you to help with this overwhelm and this sense of uncertainty. And so I created a guided meditation just for you, the overwhelmed woman who's looking for some calm and clarity in her day. And I'm excited to share it with you. It's over on my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com/reset. It is a 30-minute guided meditation to help you reset, to give you some calm and clarity. And I'm so excited that hopefully it will give you a sense of reprieve so that you can actually get still enough to listen to the next steps that your heart is trying to guide you towards. So go ahead and find that over at my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com/reset. And I'll put the link in the show notes. Before we dive into today's episode, there are a lot of other things on my website that will be helpful for you to learn about upcoming classes and retreats. Yes, I did say retreats. I took over a year off of leading retreats in order to focus on bringing my book, Come Home to Your Heart, out into the world. And I'm delighted that I am leading a new retreat. I have planned out the most nourishing 6 days, 5 nights for us in wine country in California in September. And I would be thrilled if you could join us. It's almost sold out because first I sent the invite to my waitlist, and then I told my writer workout community, and then I told my larger network. And so you'll want to snag a seat if you're interested. Again, you can find out everything over at NadineKennyJohnstone.com. You'll see the retreats tab there. So let's get into today's episode. And I want to give you some background as to what you're in for today. I have been thinking about transitions, as you know, so much lately. And one of the things that I find people say again and again is that they want a sense of groundedness, of rootedness, of certainty, and it feels so elusive. We want to find that career that we want to spend a long time in. We want to find that home or that neighborhood that we can really plant roots with. We want to find a sense of community that will support us for the long term. And yet, as life goes, it doesn't always work like that. Change knocks at our door, and we're often not ready for it. And it can leave us feeling really lonely and very uprooted. And it feels like we're always in this state of flux, which can be really discombobulating. I experienced that myself and continue to experience it. And I wrote an essay about it. It's called Forever Home. And I wanted to share it with you today for a few reasons. Not only because it seems like this feeling is really universal, especially in the last few years of so much change and upheaval, but also because this spring is the 1 year anniversary of my book, Come Home to Your Heart. And I really wanted to give you a sense of what's inside the book if you're curious to learn more and get a taste of it first. Here is my essay, Forever Home. A few years ago, after my memoir was published and I was starting to think about my next writing project, the words, "Home is in your soul," came to me one day. I was sitting in the lakefront yard of the house we had just purchased in northern Illinois. When we had scoured the Chicago suburbs with our realtor, we had said we were looking for our forever home. And this certainly fit the bill. A light-filled house on a lake, the perfect place for raising our son. At the very least, we would stay there until Gio went off to college. During our first year in our lovely lake home, we were in a very grounded place. My husband Jamie and I had jobs in Chicago, Gio went to the neighborhood school, and my family was only 50 minutes away. So when the words, "home is in your soul," came into my head, I thought, how sweet of a notion. That will be my next book. I had no idea it was a sort of life assignment I was about to embark on, not a book title. Life basically said, I know you think this place, this job, this dynamic, these friends, and this house you just took out a mortgage on will be your permanent home. But sweetie, I've got hard news for you. It all changes all the time. How much I've resisted this lesson. How desperately I've wanted to grasp onto something solid and permanent for my happiness. But life keeps coming back to reteach me. In fact, as I write these words, I'm reminded that the house we bought in Illinois was not the first forever home we had ever purchased. Our first was our old house in rural Massachusetts. We bought it on the cusp of my 27th birthday, just before exchanging vows under a forsythia arbor. It was a two-story home with room for a family and a huge yard for a garden. I was neither a mother nor a green thumb yet, so I felt very grown up thinking ahead like that. Still, I remember the realtor saying that when, not if, but when, we wanted to resell it, we might have a hard time since it only had one bathroom. He said the average family lives in a house for 5 years. Sell it. We were never leaving this charming home with its wood beams and potbelly stove. We were never leaving this idyllic town of rolling hills and forest preserves. He shrugged as if to say, things happen, hinting at job changes, marital tension, financial gain or hardship. He was in his late 60s, a kind man who had lost his wife to cancer. He was selling the home where they'd raised their kids, and he was about to remarry. The look in his tender eyes said, anything can happen. Just wait and see. I didn't want to believe him. In my late 20s, I lived in a world of plans and predictability. I thought that enough control could protect us from the worst. But then, infertility and a near-death experience made me feel a bit shocked at how brutal life could be. Yet when we got pregnant naturally just before my 29th birthday, even though the doctors said it was impossible, I hoped and believed that the worst
was behind us. I chuckle now at the thought. I look tenderly at that young me, the same way the realtor did. Not with pity, but with a sort of sigh that says, "Oh, honey, you have no idea." If I could talk to my younger self with absolute honesty, I'd say, "Forget about the planning. Release your certainties. You have no idea that the worst is yet to come. And so is the best. You have no idea that pregnancy will be absolutely awful. You will be so sick for months on end that you will truly feel like you're dying. And then the fog will lift at 4 months and you will feel glowy and beautiful and be elated at the miracle of feeling the baby kick. Then you will learn he has a kidney condition and he might not make it, and you will fall into the depths of despair. Yet somehow he will survive, and the birth will be part beautiful warrior labor and part hellish emergency C-section. You have no idea that your sweet boy will make you feel the most smitten you've ever felt, how he'll nurse like a champ and also try to latch onto anything that looks like a nipple, including your husband's nose, which will have you both laughing for hours. You can't possibly fathom that you'll suffer from severe postpartum anxiety. Is he breathing? Are the bottles clean? Does he have a fever? The relentless, ongoing worry that leaves you sleep deprived. But there will also be moments of bliss, reading board books in the glider, teaching him to crawl, showing him the world, hearing that miraculous word, mama, for the first time. You have no idea that you'll watch your partner in awe. What a gentle father your broad-shouldered husband will be, tenderly changing and dressing your boy and letting him lay on his chest like a warm loaf of bread. But also, the two of you will have very different parenting styles. You'll hover unnecessarily while your husband will be too lax sometimes. It's hard to imagine how difficult it will be to parent and partner. You'll realize you can't be wife while you are mama. You can't be carefree and funny and relaxed when you are bouncing and breastfeeding and burping. You have no idea that your precious New England home will feel isolated and lonely in the winter months, that you'll suggest Illinois to be near your mom and sister, and that your nature-loving, homebody of a husband will say words that shock you. "You came to Massachusetts for me. I'll go to Chicago for you. You deserve that." You have no idea that you will suffer many losses among family members and friends. People you thought were immortal and others you assumed would stick by you forever, there's that problematic word again, will disappear. And yet, miracles will befall you. Angels will come out of the woodwork surprising you with their generosity and deep love. You have no idea that the profession you went to grad school for and worked so hard at to be a professor will lead to complete burnout. That waking up at 4:45 a.m. and working all day in a state of frantic panic is not sustainable. This may surprise you, but one day you will willingly give it up in pursuit of less hustle, less exhaustion, more heart work, more helping women writers, more flexibility to be with your family. And believe it or not, you'll eventually say no more. You'll sit in stillness, go for slow walks to look at nature, and eat with awareness, savoring every bite. You'll play Legos with your son without worrying that you're behind on emails. You'll be able to sit fully present and listen to your husband without thinking about a lesson plan. You have no idea that marriage will look like disagreements about TV volumes and thermostat temps and eating each other's dessert stashes, and it will also look like being at your husband's side when he is rushed to the ER after passing out in the kitchen. You will whisper desperate pleas to the universe to let him live because he makes everywhere home with his cooking and his hearty laugh. In a gift of great fortune, your wish will be granted, and he will walk out of that hospital 4 days later, weak but alive, and it will make you look at every interaction thereafter with boundless gratitude. You have no idea how achingly hard it will be to watch your son grow up so fast, how precious those times at the playground and library will become, how one day you won't be able to pick him up because he's almost your height, but he'll still snuggle with you on the couch. Oh, how you love watching him draw and read and create and build and play. You don't know this yet, but of the many things he'll inherit from you, brutal honesty is at the top. He'll make fun of the loose skin that hangs from your arms. You little stinker, you'll say, laughing as he tugs on your wrinkly elbows. He will be your best teacher and your greatest gift. You have no idea how much you will change with age. You'll morph from an anxious overachiever and people pleaser to someone with clear boundaries who follows how she feels, yet you'll always be a work in progress. You will accumulate laugh lines and saggy eyelids, but you will love your strong body and your abundant heart for all it has gotten you through. You have no idea that this life, all of its trials and treasures, will ultimately make you cherish yourself. Oh, young soul, I know you're standing in that Massachusetts forever home thinking you've got it all planned out, but you have no idea that you'll become an accidental wanderer, living in a city apartment, a suburban rental, a lake home in northern Illinois. You don't know yet about the pandemic, the brutal winters and lockdown, the selling of your Illinois home and the purchase of your Airstream, living on the road in a 27-foot camper, the search for another place to plant your feet, ending up in Florida. For now, anyway. I know it's hard to believe, but of all the things you will go searching for, home will feel the most elusive. But sweetheart, dear tender soul, here's what I want to tell you. You can go searching for miles in a lifetime, but the only forever home you're ever going to find is in your own soul. It is here for you any time of day or night, and even if you drift away from it, it will never drift away from you. You can always and forever come back home to your heart.
If you enjoyed this essay and you would love to experience your own sense of clarity and reflection and really thinking through some of your own emotions, it is part of my guided journal essay collection called Come Home to Your Heart. And it's designed to both have these essays from my personal life, but also journaling prompts so that you can reflect on your own feelings and come to deep healing and self-compassion. I hope that this essay touched you in some way. And if you know of someone who could really benefit from it, feel free to send it over to them. It could be like a little present via text message. Just share the link with them, and hopefully it will bring a sense of unity and community to others who are feeling a bit adrift in their lives. I want to thank my producer, Michelle Rado, who never makes me feel adrift. You always make me feel part of a community. I thank you for everything you do on this podcast. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.